Now, this evening, I want you to imagine that God, if God uses voicemail. Behind, can you hear me? Yes. All of you look very blur. That means I have to change my glasses soon. Now, so you imagine that God uses voicemail and you are calling God. Imagine and hearing the following. Right, so you dial, and then there is an answer. Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. For Mandarin, press 3. For Malay, press 4. For all other languages, press 0. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for request. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. Press 4 for all other inquiries. I'm sorry. All of our angels and saints, they are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in the order it was received. Please stay on the line. If you'd like to speak to God, press 1. Jesus, press 2. Holy Spirit, press. If you would like to hear King David sing a psalm whilst you are holding, press 4. To find a loved one that has been assigned to heaven, press 5. Then enter his or her NRIC number, followed by the hex sign. If you receive a negative response, please hang up and try area code 666. For reservations, please enter J-O-H-N followed by the numbers 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaur, the age of the earth, life in other planet, and where Noah Ark is, please wait until you arrive. Our computers show that you have already prayed today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. The office is now closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. Please pray again on Monday after 9:30 a.m. If you are calling after office hours and need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor. Thank you and have a heavenly day. Now, aren't we glad that God doesn't have voicemail? Can I hear amen? Do you want to know God's telephone number? Do you know? It's 333. Do you know where I got the number from? From Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things. Right? Yeah. So we are glad that God has no voicemail. And the two verses that will be reflected on the screen will be my text today. And my title is Hearing and Obeying God. Hearing and Obeying God. Can I have the text? John 10:27-28. So these are the verses that I will read. The first one, John 10:14. It says here, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody say, follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So we are thankful that Jesus declared that he's a shepherd, that he's our shepherd, and we are able to watch, to hear his voice. The shepherd leads us by his voice into the abundant life that he promises to all who will follow him. Now, why is hearing God so important? Why do you think it's so important? Definitely it's important because, as you know, that Christianity, it is not a religion, but it is a personal relationship. So in a personal relationship, there must be communion. There is a relationship. So it's very important that we must know several ways that how God speaks to us. Right? There are many ways that God can speak to us. But today, I just want to share probably six or seven ways that God has spoken. God is continuing speaking to us. But before that, I want to, give some foundation, overarching principle of the foundation. And the first one is, God speaks to his children. Can I hear amen? So you have to know that God speaks to you. Because there are many people who say, I can't hear God. Now, if you can't hear God, it's not God's problem. It is our problem. Because God, he wants to speak to you. We have to correct our channel. Right? So for the first one is that God speaks to his children. There is a children chorus that I will read to you, a children chorus that I heard somewhere. It says, God has something to say to you. God has something to say. Listen, pay close attention. God has something to say. Amen. So today, even as you are hearing my voice, it's not that important. I believe God is speaking to you even right now. He's dropping some impression upon you. Right? So I want you to open your ears to hear what actually he wants to speak to you. Now, so firstly, we see here that we have to understand and believe God speaks to his children. Number two, God wants his children to know what he is saying to them. There is no point that if God speaks to you and you don't understand, definitely he will speak to you in the language that you will understand. In the language that you understand. And in 1 Corinthians 6:17, there is a verse that talks about that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The next slide. The 1 Corinthians 6:17 say, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So what I'm saying is that when we say God is speaking to you, it's actually your spirit needs to be alive. Amen. Yeah. So God is a Holy Spirit, and when he speaks to you, it is he speaking to your spirit. Yeah, so you cannot be passive. You have to activate your spirit. You have to be energized so that you can know, you can receive from the Holy Spirit. So God is not some force, but he's a person with feeling, thoughts, and personality. The slides are not moving. Next one. It's still there, right? It's not moving. Yes. So I'll wait for a while. There is another verse, John 7:37-39. Yes, thank you. Yes, next one. Yeah, John 7:37-39. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so it talks about, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what has that verse got to do with hearing God's voice? Because many times I told you that when God is speaking to you, his spirit is communicating to your spirit. So when he speaks to you, it's like a flow of thoughts. So God's voice is not yelling, but rather, it's not going to be dramatic, but rather, it can be very soft. And so the example that I will read is from 1 Kings 19:11-12. The story about Elijah. Let me read it to you. 1 Kings 19:11-12. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And the great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, listen, a sound of a gentle blowing. Amen. So for most of us, like Elijah, when God speaks to us, it is a still, small voice. In other words, it is not aggressive, but rather it's a very small voice that sometimes we may miss it. Listen carefully. Right, so the voice is very soft. It's very quick. So you need to be attentive. You need to pay attention, or you will miss the voice of God. I'll give you a quote from Oswald Chambers, and this is what he says. Oswald Chambers, he says, the voice of the Spirit of God is as gentle as a summer breeze. So gentle that unless you are living in complete fellowship and oneness with God, you will never hear it. Do you get it? Yes, that is how the voice of God. And Elijah, he thought that the voice of God was in the earthquake, in the wind, in the fire. Right? But it was in the sound of a gentle blowing. And Elijah recognized the voice of God. Yeah. So we see here that also God, He wants His children to have abundant life. He wants His children to have abundant life. And abundant life is full of purpose and meaning. Abundant life is full of purpose and meaning. And in order for us to have this abundant life, we need to hear the voice of God constantly, regularly, because it is a relationship. You don't have to go around looking for prophetic people to pray over you, not necessarily, but sometimes it can be possible. But what I'm saying is that you can hear God's voice directly for your personal life, for your personal walk. What kind of life would children have in a home never hearing from their father? All right, there is a story about the orphanages in Russia and Ukraine. There are many children in the orphanages. And what happened, due to the lack of workers, they almost never touch the children. There is no human contact. So the children were given food and water to drink. But do you know, they failed to develop. You know why they failed to develop? Because they did not have any human touch and human contact. The little children are like objects. And this is living an abnormal life. So in the same way, in the spiritual family of God, when we are not receiving from God, we are not hearing from Him, then we are living an abnormal life. Yes. And that is why the topic on hearing the voice of God, by the way, I was requested by your pastor, right? Your pastor Christina, who's away, right? And she requested me specifically to share about this message. Yeah, because she recognized it's important that in your early walk, in your early stage as a Christian, definitely as youth, you want to be hearing the voice of God. Can I hear amen? Yes. You do not want to live until you are 70 years old and you found out you have missed a lot of stuff because you are just living, you know, a life that is so monotonous and you have really missed whatever God wants for you. Right, yeah. So I would encourage you that today's session is very important, and I want to give you some practical steps that you are able to take home as handles, and you will discover this is some of the ways that God speaks to me. Right. Now, God speaks in many ways. So I will talk about seven ways. And by the way, today I'll be sharing, I don't think I'll be preaching today in that sense, but rather I'll be sharing you a bit of my life story. Because, in fact, all the seven ways I have examples. So I've chosen some examples that I will share with you about my life journey, how the Lord has directed me since I became a Christian until now. Now, the first one, what we call about, is talk about the means of communication. You can see that it's in bold, right? So the first one is God speaks through the word, the scriptures. I'm not going to read the scripture. It takes a lot of time, but you can read it for yourself. So we see here that the scripture is the basis authority. In other words, whatever you hear from God or from others, even whatever prophetic word you may receive from others, you must go back to the Bible. Can I hear a big amen? Yes. So you must know your Bible. If you do not know the word of God, how are you going to compare? So the word of God is the basis. So whatever you hear for yourself or others that have spoken over you, you go back to the Bible, you pray, and you seek out the counsel of God. What does the Bible say about it? Yes. Yeah. So God has made it very clear in His word about certain things. So we don't have to ask Him or even pray about it. Alright. So there are many questions that I can talk to you about hearing God's voice regarding scripture. But I'll just bring up maybe two examples. The first one is that if somebody asks you, should I go to church if I'm a Christian? What is the answer? What? Yes. Don't even have to pray about it. Why? Because Hebrews 10:25 say, not forsaking our own assembly together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Alright? So I do not believe in the armchair Christian. You know armchair Christian? It doesn't mean that you have an armchair at home, but what I'm saying is that whatever chair you have at home, if you are not going to church and you just sit on the chair and you watch the TV or the YouTube about Christian program and you are not part of the local fellowship, then that is not acceptable. Right? Yes. But what you can pray about it is that you can ask God, you can pray, you can ask God to direct you to the local fellowship that you will be a part of. Right? Yes. So another example. Should I marry a non-believer? Can I hear? Wow, this one very very soft. I repeat. Should I marry a non-believer this side? Yes, no. Right? So, no need to pray about it. You have a relationship with a non-believer and you want to pray about it, no need. Because in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15, it talks about that we should not be bound with unbelievers. Right? Yeah, because there is no common association in that sense. Right? You can be a friend, but marriage is a serious covenant. Right? Yeah. So you can pray about which believer to marry, you can. But you don't pray, say, God, do you think I can marry or date even a non-believer? We advise you not to. Right? Yes. So the scripture is the standard. There is another word that is called the Rhema. Now, what is the Rhema? Basically, scripture is a logos, is a word of God. But Rhema is another way that God speaks to you. Right? The Rhema, it is the quickened scripture for specific situation. It has been described, the logos is like a well of water, and the Rhema is a bucket of water from the well. Truth is truth, and the logos and Rhema are one with God. Yes. So in your life, you need the quickened scripture. You need to read your Bible to study, but it is the quickened scripture that will enable you to direct your life and so forth. I remember that before I left Citibank, I was in Citibank for 16 years, right? Before I left Citibank to join full time at a local church, I was approached by another church leader asking me to join as one of their pastors. And I remembered while I was seeking the Lord, in fact, the Lord, He kind of spoke to me about it. He was preparing me, but I was quite hesitant. And I remembered reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is so common. Everybody of us have read it many times. It doesn't mean much to us. But that particular morning, I knew it was a Rhema word. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Yeah, so I believe I took that Rhema. So I left my comfort zone, 16 years in the bank. It was very comfortable. It's like you close your eyes and you can do the job, right? But somehow I knew that was the Rhema word. So I gave 1 month notice and I joined the full-time ministry. Yes. So we see here firstly that God uses scripture, amen, the Rhema especially, to speak to you. Yeah. So the method number two, the way is, God speak to us through prayer. This is very simple. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Do you agree? Yes, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Right. So I would suggest that many of you should try to practice what we call listening prayer. Everybody say listening prayer. Yes. Most of the time, we know how to pray. We are talking to God, but we forget the other part. Listening prayer is one of the most important, ways that God speaks to us. In the month of May, I spent 2 weeks at IHOP, Kansas City. Now, you know, Kansas City is very unusual. They have two IHOP. The IHOP that I went is the International House of Prayer. The other IHOP is the International House of Pancake. Have you heard it? Now, I must tell you this story. This is a true story. I was told that a man, he went to Kansas City. He was at the immigration. Right, so, the U.S. immigration, they are quite strict. They want to check, what are you here for? How much money do you bring? And the man said, I am attending a course at IHOP, Kansas City. So the immigration officer was a bit startled. And he says, you are going to the Pancake House to attend a course? And the man said, no, I'm not going to the Pancake House. I'm going to the International House of Prayer. Yeah, happened that they have the same name. Yes. So I was there for 2 weeks, and I was I attended the ministry. They have 24/7. I really commend them. Right? They started the ministry was started by Mike Bickle, and in 1999, this year will be 20 years of non-stop 24/7. There is no stop. In other words, there is intercession and worship every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, they have a team that will take over, even on Sunday in the midnight. It's really 24 hours, no break. And I was there, and I was having some health challenges, and so I just sat there, like one of you sitting there, not just enjoying the presence of God, and I was listening to God, and I asked God about my situation. I know the Lord knows the situation, but I was just telling him, do you have anything to say to me? Right? And the Lord, you know, he spoke to me, gave me the assurance, my problem is not solved. There is no solution yet. I need a miracle. But the one thing I know is that God spoke to me, he encouraged me, and he comforted me. Amen. Yes. So I would suggest that those of you, whatever difficulty you have, instead of running around here and there, spend time with the Lord and listen to him. This is what we call the listening prayer. The posture of Samuel. Remember Samuel, the prophet? Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, then the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. And I wonder how many there are here. You are looking for some kind of direction. Maybe it's like you are thinking, I finished my study, what should I do? Should I go overseas? Should I study in a local U? What should I do with my life? And I would encourage you, go to the Lord. And he will speak to you. He will speak to you. So number three, another way that he can speak is dreams and visions. Right? The book of Job say, in the dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men while they be slumber in their beds. And God has been using dreams since the book of Genesis, and he continued this theme through the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. For me personally, I'm not really a dreamer. I'm more of a visionary. A dreamer is someone that one of the ways that God speaks to them regularly is through dreams. And I wonder how many of you that are here regularly, you know, God speaks to you through dreams. Just wave your hand. Yeah. Wow, quite a number behind there, right? Yeah. Somehow you know. And chances are, when you have a dream, when you get up, more or less, the Lord will give you an interpretation. Right? You don't have to go around asking, right? Yeah. And for me is that I'm not really a dreamer, but I remember about 20 years ago, I had this dream and the dream came to pass. And I will share you this dream. I was in the dream. My brother, he wasn't a Christian, and I only had one dream so-called spiritual dream. So my brother came to me and he told me, Cynthia, I'm a Christian now. That's all he said. The dream was very short. And when he said that, my reaction, right? So I told him, the first thing that came out, when he said, oh, I'm a Christian, how come I don't know? You get it? That's why I said, how come I don't know? And I just woke up. And I don't have to ask anyone about the interpretation. And I begin to weep. Because at that time, I was working in Citibank. I recently got saved. I share the gospel with my colleagues and so forth. But somehow, I did not bother to share with my brother. I thought that my brother wasn't interested. Yes, so I begin to weep. And the dream convicted me. The Lord was trying to tell me that you have such a compassion and burden for every of your colleague and your friend. But your only brother, you left him out. What is happening? So I begin to repent. I begin to pray regularly for him. And you know, several months passed. It was during that year. I think a few months later he passed. I had a phone call from my brother. And my brother said, he was in some kind of financial situation. And he said, can you buy a Bible for me? Can you share the word of God? I need God. I'm so desperate. I need God to help me. So I had that pleasure and that joy of buying my Bible, you know, and I led him and his wife to the Lord. So what I'm saying is that dream can be one way that God is speaking to you. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, so we thank God. So up to now, he and his family, they are also following the Lord and they are serving in another church. Right? So we have scriptures. Then secondly, we talk about God speaking through prayer. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You may know it, but let me repeat. When God speaks to you through prayer, normally when we pray, of course, you want the answer to be yes, right or not? But sometimes, what other answers can we get? Titus, when you pray, what are the other answers besides yes? No, right? So there'll be yes, no, and then this one very tough. Wait. The waiting part, right? So, remember? So don't say God did not answer. Many a time we pray and say, oh, God did not answer. Now you know, He answers. But you want the answer to be yes. The answer can be yes, no, and wait. Yeah, wait. And the waiting part is very important. Because it involves character. It involves you to wait upon the Lord. It examines your motive for asking and so forth. There's a lot of stuff going on. Right? So remember, your answer can be yes, no, and wait. And God does answer. So thirdly, it is talking about the dreams. Regarding the vision, I will not share. Because visions, there's a lot. But I think at the moment I won't share. So we have three ways. Right? We have scriptures, the Rhema, the Logos, of course. We have listening prayer. Number three, dreams and vision. And number four, we have object lessons and everyday life. This is very simple. Do you know that God can speak through natural things? You believe or not? Yeah. It means that everyday life, when you are going about in your own way, living life on this earth, God speaks to you. I remember years ago I saw a movie and God spoke to me through the movie. Yeah, it was a father, a father that was separated from his only son because there was some kind of flood in New York, and the father and the son were separated. But the father tried his very best in the midst of the turbulence and the storm to go and reach his son, right? And that movie tells me about the love of Father God. That God loves us so much that when He knows that we are on this earth, He will do everything. He will stop at nothing because He wants to save us. And the film ended with the father rescuing the son. He went through so much; he almost died because as you know, U.S. is very big. There was a storm and a flood in New York, and the father and the son were separated. Yes, so I'm saying that God can speak us not through everyday life. So we have to be sensitive. We have to be sensitive to what's happening to us. And fifthly, God speaks to us through coincidences and circumstances. I think it's a slide before this. Maybe I missed out that. Number is okay. Yeah, thank you. All right, so I think I missed out. The next one, after the object lesson in everyday life, there should be this term called coincidences and circumstances. Now, coincidences and circumstances, sometimes they are put separately. But most of the time, I would say, this is one way where God put it together. Right? This is one way I decide to put together because they are connected. They are connected. And I'll just share you a bit about my story. Right? I was a pastor in a church in Sembawang, and I lived in Yishun for 18 years. Now, 18 years is a long time. So after I left Citibank, I was a local pastor in another big church. We are not mentioned, but I think most of you know, right? In another big church. And what happened, I was serving there for 18 years. And at the course of it, about 13 or 14 years ago, I felt that I felt led to move to another kind of ministry. I was doing a pastor and missionary there, but I felt I wanted to do a change of ministry. And so I was given the opportunity to buy a flat at Holland Drive. A three-room flat. There was an opening there, and my cousin asked me to buy the resale flat. Right, so I went there. And at that time when I went there, immediately within 5 minutes, I paid 5,000 deposit for the flat. Now, if you are in your right mind, you won't buy the flat. The flat was so old. I remember the door was broken, the window was broken. Later on, when my brother visited me and he saw the condition of the flat, he said that what happened? I must be crazy to have bought the flat. But somehow, when I went there, I just had a peace. Right? Also, peace. I had a prompting. That would be another way that God speaks to you. But somehow, I just decided. I just had a peace, and I knew that I wanted to buy that flat, right? Yeah. And during that time, there was a transition. I was not offered a position here in Coos, but there was an opening. Right, so I just by faith bought that flat, and within 1 week, I was accepted to be a ministry leader in Church of Our Savior. Right, and the Lord knows, because I do not like to travel. As you know, Holland Drive is very near here. Right, because my old house was, I stay in Yishun, the church was in Sembawang. Right, because I'm someone that I find traveling on the road takes a lot of hours, is a waste of time. Right, so God was so good. And within 1 year, I was offered the en bloc, and I came nearer to Kus, because from Holland Drive, I moved to Tanglin Halt. Can you imagine? One bus stop away. So as I look back, I say that the Lord has prepared all this for me. Right? Yeah. So my example here is talking about that God, He speaks to you through coincidences and circumstances. Right? So I want you to be aware. When things are happening in your life, you got to be aware whether how God is leading you. Leading you. Right? So that is number five. Number six, I decide to put it together, what I call a check in the spirit and spiritual prompting in our conscience. Right? Sometimes it can be separated, but I decide to put them together. Alright? Yeah. So God speaks through a sudden strike of flesh in your spirit. It means that sometimes you just understand. And people ask you, how do you know? And what's your answer? I know because I know. Right, yes. Alright. So this is one way that God speaks to you. You just know something in your spirit. Something in your spirit. And so at the end of 1994, after my grandmother passed away, I was serving in the previous church. I decided to be a missionary. Right. So I approached the church leadership and I said that I'm ready to go to be a missionary for maybe 2 or 3 years. Right. And they told me that I went to them in somewhere in the end 1994. But I felt that the Lord gave me a date. The date was so accurate that I'm supposed to be a missionary in early the first quarter of 1996. And 1995 is supposed to be preparation year. This is what I sense. So I told the leadership. And they told me that no. They said they cannot wait so long. Next year, they are going to send a team to Zambia. You know Zambia? Zambia is in Africa, the southern part of Africa. And they said they are gathering a team. And if the team is ready, 1995, I should be prepared to go with this team to plant a church. Right? But I knew in my heart that the date was wrong. But I know one thing. Right? It is very, how to say, I advise you. Right? It is good to submit to leadership. Can I hear amen? Yes. Right, don't fight, don't argue. Right, so I told them, if this is your plan, I will submit. But do you know that they couldn't find the last person to go for the whole year in 1995? So I did not go. Right. They want, because in the church funding team, you need to have at least one man. I think I had 4 ladies, but they said, it cannot be a lady team, you need one man. And they couldn't find that one man. Out of the church, they couldn't find one man that was ready to go. And so the man only responded, end of 1995. So you guess, when did my training start? It started in 1996, February, and then in April, I was off to Zambia. Right. So as I look back, I say, God, you are indeed faithful. Whatever you told me, it came to pass. Yes. Like I said, sometimes you have a sense of timing and so forth. No, this is another way that God is confirming He's leading you in your journey. Yeah. Another way He speaks to us, that is a check in the spirit, is what we call spiritual prompting in our conscience. Alright, in our conscience. So this can be the Holy Spirit convicting you, or the Holy Spirit just speaking to your conscience to do something or not to do something. Alright, yes. So, as I was working in Citibank for a very long time, and I was very happy there, and one day they had this survey, the survey from New York, and that the survey says, it says this, in the next 5 years, do you see yourself working here? Right, yeah. So in my normal thinking, my logic, you know, I wanted to take yes. Because firstly, I was not an ambitious person. And secondly, I was already a lay pastor in the local church. And being a lay pastor, you have a lot of things to do. So I was thinking, what's the point of changing job? And then you have to stay overtime. So I was very happy working there. So I wanted to take what? Yes. Because the answer is yes or no. Do you see yourself? I wanted to take yes, but something tell me you won't be here in the next 5 years. So I argued, and I told the Lord, I said, God, where can I be? Don't tell me I'll be getting married. I don't have to work. I don't know. I said, God, I have no desire to work in another place. The answer should be yes. But somehow I couldn't type best, right? So I take no. And true enough, I think about a year later, the full-time call came. So I left the bank, and I knew why, but I couldn't take yes, because the Lord knows, He knows my future, you see. It's a matter of whether I want to obey or not. I want to obey. Right. So I'm telling you all these stories to show that when we hear God, like I said, it is very important that we need to obey. Everybody say, I must obey. Yes. That's why my title is Hearing and Obeying God. Well, what's the point where you hear God, but you don't obey? Right. It doesn't make any sense. Right. Yeah. So it's so important that when you hear God, you need to obey. The more you obey, the more He speaks to you. And you will find that your life is a series of direction. No? That of course, maybe we make some mistakes here and there. But more or less, your life will not be in a mess because He is leading you, He's guiding you and so forth. So it's very important. Lastly, through physical sensations. Right? So here I'm talking about, you know, all of us have five senses, right? So God can speak to you through your five senses. So we have the sight and the vision, hearing and sound perception, the touch, the taste, and the smell. I remember years ago, I was attending a late night wake at somewhere in Ang Mo Kio. And I took a bus to the Yio Chu Kang MRT, and there is an overhead bridge. Do you know? Everybody know the overhead bridge, right? So I had to cross over to the other side, to Ang Mo Kio. So I went up the overhead bridge. While I was walking on the overhead bridge, you guess what? Fear gripped me. And literally my hair all stood up. Not this hair, this hair, right? The hair all stood up, right? And I was sweating, you know. Do you know, I sense such an evil presence. Yeah, there was such an evil presence. Because when I was, before I step up to the overhead bridge, I was normal, I was feeling okay. But once I was an evil presence. So, can you guess, what did I do? Who said what? You all said prayer. Do you say that? I'm not that spiritual. Right? I didn't do that. I ran for my life. First of all, I was alone, you know. Right? There was nobody. And then secondly, it was very late. It was almost 10 o'clock. I was in a hurry to go to the wake. Right? So I didn't bother. What was it? I didn't go and investigate. If other day, I might too, you know. So I just ran across. Actually, I'm not a fast runner, but somehow that day I could run. Run very fast. And I went to the other side. And the moment I came down to the bottom of the stairs, I became my normal self. Right? Yeah. So one way, this is how God also speak to you through your sensing, right? Your sensing, your feeling and so forth. Right? Yeah. So I think these are some of the practical examples many of you may have experienced. Sometimes you go to the hotel room, right? Hotel room, and you go in and you sense something that is not right and so forth. But of course, if that happens, do not change room, but just pray and then you cleanse the room. Since you already paid for the room, you can stay there. Huh? Yes. What's so funny? Don't change the room, just pray. Because they might give you a room that is worse than that. So there are different ways. So there altogether there are seven ways. Now that we know several ways of God speaking to us, we need to take time and effort to seek God and listen to Him. In other words, you need to develop the right antenna and channel. Right antenna and channel. So God is speaking to us more than we realize. So if we can't hear God, you can't blame Him. It is our fault. Then you have to find out, why am I not hearing Him regularly? Why am I in a rut now? I'm not hearing Him regularly for the decision and so forth. Right. So on my last point, I want to talk about essentials for hearing God. Right? Very practical step. The first one is time and effort. Yeah. So you need to make time. In any kind of relationship, you need to make time. So in the same way, you need regularly to make time and effort. Yeah, don't be so busy that you have no time to seek God. So you know the quotation from D.L. Moody there. You can read for yourself. Secondly, solitude silence and stillness lead to revelation. Yeah, so you need to focus on Jesus. You need to be quiet and stop all that you are doing. Right, all that you are doing, and just worship God. We often miss God, miss hearing God's voice simply because we are not paying attention. We're not paying attention, and that's why you can't hear. So you need to silence the inner chaos. God is speaking to you about your future and your destiny. Your future and destiny. And there is another, another slide, is talking about that we are so busy and so distracted. And the next slide, we are so busy. Can you see the cartoon there? That poor guy, he's so distracted, definitely he can't hear. Yeah, because with the voices, the voices from the world, voices from his friends probably. So you need to really silence the voices and contemplate and seek God. And you'll find that he will lead and direct you. Another essential is submission and humility. This is very important. You need to have a soft and a willing heart. Obedience is the most powerful key in hearing God's voice. So if you ask me today, Cynthia, at the end of the message, what do I take home? Well, obedience. You want to hear God regularly? You got to obey Him. The more you obey, the more He will speak and you will hear Him. Yeah, so obedience is very important. He speaks regularly to those who are willing to do whatever He say, however difficult or inconvenient. God trusts and knew that Abraham and Moses would do something. You know the two story? The two story you can find, the one in Abraham, you can find in Genesis 18, 17 to 18. This is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And how God, spoke to Abraham, and he said this. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him?" And you know the story. You know why God chose Abraham to tell? Because he know Abraham was an intercessor. He knew that if he tell Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and then Lot and so forth, he knew that Abraham was going to do something. Amen. He was going to intercede. So in the same way, if God need to trust you so that when he reveals something to you, so that you will not take the information to use it in a very useless way or to go and gossip, but you will take that matter to prayer. You will take that matter opportunity how to minister, how to reach out to another person. That is why God is revealing to you about something. Yeah, so remember that. Abraham was God's good friend, and it seems that God is also treating Abraham as his friend by imparting his secrets to him. What's the point of telling you something important if you're not going to do something about it? Right, yes. And I would just want to say this statement. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Right, so I would encourage you to quickly obey. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That was a quote by John Bevere. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, as I conclude today, I want to share with you the two spiritual markers. Now, what are spiritual markers? Spiritual markers, remember in the Old Testament, there were times when God did a significant work in the Israel, right? And then he told them to erect the Theof rocks. They did that just after they crossed the River Jordan. They were called the memorial stones. Are you familiar? They were called the memorial stones. So God told them to put the rocks right there as a marker. Why? To help future people remember God did a great work there. These are the spiritual markers, and you can find it in Joshua 24, verses 4 to 7. You can go back and read. Joshua 24, 4 to 7. Now, so I will define for you what is spiritual marker. Spiritual marker refer to events in our life where God greatly impacts and changes us. Right? It's something very significant that it really shifts the direction of your life. It's not a minor thing, you know, but something that change the course of your life. It's a big decision kind of thing. Right? It might be an event which God spoke to you into your life, dramatically changing the course of your life. Right? And earlier on, I shared to you about my move to Kuz, when God used the circumstance and the coincidence. So that is a great marker. That's why I'm here. And I think this year will be my 14th year. Wow, so old already. Yeah. Yeah, this August, can you believe it? I joined in August 2005. Right, 14, eh? It's 2019, yeah. So already time has passed. Right, so let me share with you another two markers. This is what I call the voice of healing and the voice of direction. There are many, but I'll just pick these two right now. What happened is that I'm very close to my grandmother. I was a caregiver. And many years ago, suddenly she died. She died of stomach cancer, a very short illness. Within 2 weeks, she passed on. It was not a long illness. And so I didn't know that I was still grieving. I thought I could cope because after she passed away, I was very busy with church work. And sometimes when you are so busy, you don't realize you are grieving, is it? So life carry on. And I remembered one day there was a revival meeting, and at the revival meeting, the Spirit of God was moving so powerfully. There's no one to pray for you or lay hands on you, but the Spirit of God moved, and I found myself on the floor. On the floor means that I'm lying down, right? So I was lying down. And suddenly I began to cry, right? And I became, the crying was quite, I would use the word hysterical, right? So I cried, and I just cried, and I wailed. Actually, crying is not a good word, and not appropriate word. I was wailing, wailing or not? W-A-I-L-I-N-G, So I was wailing, and suddenly out of my mouth, I said, how come I'm crying as if somebody has died? It just came out from my mouth, and I heard God speaking to me, and God, you know what he said? He said, yes, you are crying for your dead grandmother. Right? You have been mourning, you have been grieving for one whole year. You didn't know. Today, you shall cry for the last time. And I really cried. Then the next day, when I went to the office, you know what happened? I had to wear what? Sunglasses. Yeah, because it was swollen, right? So of course, I don't have sunglasses, right? Because the sunglasses got no power. So what happened is, I bought that, the black thing, the black glasses, to put over my glasses. Because my eyes were so swollen, right? Right. So that was the first night. Now, the second night was beautiful because the Lord has healed me. The spirit of grief was broken. I didn't even have to go for inner healing. Well, sometimes we have to go for several sessions before the spirit of grief is cast out. That one was instant, very good. So the next day, I had other experience. I was full of joy, right, and so forth. That's another story, right? Yeah. I had a vision, but I think I cannot share. 6 o'clock, right? Yeah. I had a vision, a wonderful vision, that I was filled, I was in a wine bottle, and I was drinking while I was full of the Holy Spirit. Alright? Yeah. So anyway, here I'm telling you the voice of healing. Right, yeah. Secondly, the voice of direction. Right, I told you I was in Citibank for 16 years, but through a series of events, they decided that the job that I was doing, I was posted to another department. Right, so when I went to the other department, of course, I missed all my colleagues, and I had a new boss, and she was an iron lady. So I had a difficult time with her. I was miserable for 2 years. Right, well, we had some conflict. I was so miserable. And every morning, before I go to work, I remember, I will open the classified ad. Now, nowadays, people don't see classified ad, but this is 30 years ago. Right. The yellow pages. Right. I was looking for a job. Every morning, I would do it. I was so miserable. And I heard God's voice say, stop it. No, you are not going to look for another job. You're going to just continue in this post. All right. Because if you leave now, you will live in defeat. It was so clear. It happened 30 years ago, I can repeat to you. Because that's what God told me. If you leave now, you will live in defeat. But when you leave Citibank, it will be in victory. That one sentence changed my whole perspective. True enough, the next day, I went to the office with such courage and confidence. I was like a lion. Did the situation change or not? Yes or no? No, the situation didn't change, but my perspective changed. Because what? God say, if you leave now, you are in defeat. And I don't want to be in defeat, right? But when you leave, you will be in victory. So I hung on to God's word. And I think 1 year later, they made a mistake. They say that there was a mistake. So they told me to go back to my old department. No, so I was sort of like released from the prison. So I went back. I was very happy there. And I thought I would be in Citibank for the rest of my life. But soon after, I received the call for full-time ministry. And when I left that bank, right, I remember what God told me. When you leave Citibank, it will be in? Yes, because I know. serving as a full-time, right? It's something that God has planned for me, and I will never exchange it. I'll never exchange it. I remembered a quote by Billy Graham. No, I'm not saying that secular job is no good or what. I'm not saying that. But if God has called you to full-time, then you got to obey Him. Amen. Right, so you must know, right? If God called you to be a marketplace, go and do the very best, be successful. I remember Billy Graham. Do you know Billy Graham was so honored by the so-called the Americans? And one day they approached him. No, they said, Billy Graham, Mr. Billy Graham, would you like to run for presidency? Have you heard that story or not? And do you know what Billy Graham said? Anybody know? Anybody know? Not? He replied. Billy Graham said no. Why should I take a lesser job? Or to that effect. Right? Yes. So Billy Graham know that he had been called to be an evangelist, to serve God full time. Right? So Billy Graham said that, no, I will not move. I will not change it. Because that is his calling. Right? Yes. So, can I have the music team? Eh, not music. What team? Worship team. Okay. Come up here. Huh? Yes. Yeah, so I want all of you to stand up. Alright, so as they are preparing, before we sing the closing song, now I have two questions for you. Alright, two questions for you to think, and I will give an altar call so that you can come and respond. And we can pray for you. Now, firstly is that I told you that God is speaking to you. Alright? Not only in the message, but through many, many ways. Even today, as you come to this service, what impression did you receive during this service? What kind of impression? What is God stirring in your heart? It could have been during the worship, during something someone said or did. During the message, what did God speak to you? What is He putting in your heart right now? Okay, that is the first question. Second question, if God has spoken specifically, what are you going to do about it? If He has instructed you to say something, then you need to respond. You need to obey Him. Because through obedience, then you can find that regularly He will be speaking to you. Your Christian life will be exciting because you are worshipping and serving a God who is alive and still speaks to His people. Now, the earlier part of the service, I saw that there were a few visitors. Is that right? Right. I think over there, right? Two or three visitors. And I don't know who you are. I don't know whether you know Jesus personally or not. But if you have not received Jesus, you cannot call Jesus your shepherd. Because today the message is Jesus is the shepherd, you are His sheep, and you can hear God's voice. Right? But today, you say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to know God's voice. I want to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I will encourage you, right, you can come up. And so those friends, those youth, you have brought the friend, you can gently bring them at this corner, you know, and it'll be so wonderful that you can have the youth pastor here, and you yourself, to lead your friends to make the most important decision in this life. Dear friends, the most important decision not going to the U or even to get married now. I mean, marriage is important. Or maybe that one is the second important decision. But the first important decision is to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Your life will never be the same. Especially when you know God is speaking, He's directing you, He's showing you things. I tell you now, it'll be an exciting life. Right? Yeah. So, please respond, especially those friends that bring them if they do not know the Lord. Right? So for the rest of you, you are saying here, you say, Cynthia, I want to hear God more regularly. Right? Maybe all these things that I shared with you, you know about it, but somehow is that your life is in a stagnant, you know, stagnant, in a rut, you know. There are some here that spiritually you have not grown. You have not grown. I'm not talking about attending classes or what, no. But you know, your spiritual life, you have not grown. You have not, you think that God is so far, or you are deaf, or God is deaf. But today, you say, I want to hear God again. I want to have this relationship again. No, I want to hear God. Now, so clearly, you can come up here, and we have some ministers here that can pray for you. Right? So we are going to sing this song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. So quickly come up. Thank you. Okay, let's worship the Lord. Yeah. Let's worship the Lord. Just come up here. We will pray for you.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Come and respond. Let's begin 2019 that can hear God.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. To see you highlighted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
All right, we request for the cell leaders, you can come and pray for the people that are here, right? And for the rest of you, surely you want to be more intimate with the Lord. And I tell you, the best is yet to come. So why don't you come up and respond? Because this is only the second week or the third week of 2019, right? So we want our ears to be sharp so that we can hear God so intimately for our future. Right, so whether you are a leader or you're a member, but you have this hunger, you want to draw closer to God, you can come and we can pray together with you. Thank you.
You know, to hear God's voice is really a start of a journey of adventure. Father, we just want to lift every single person who is at the front. Lord, God, I pray that you open their ears. Lord, you open their hearts. You open their eyes. Lord, Father, that they can hear the communication, Lord. Your heart for them. Your heart for things. Father, I pray you expand, Lord, Father. What Charissa was praying, you know, the destinies to be heard. Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I pray you start to speak to us, Lord, as one congregation, Lord. God, as one ministry, Lord, we come before you at your throne, kneeling down, saying we want to hear your voice. Before we move forward, Lord, we want to consult you. Before we want to do anything, God, we want to hear and obey. So, Father, we pray for breakthrough, Lord. We pray for breakthrough for every person that is there. Lord, I pray that they will be able to hear, Lord. They'll be able to hear in your name. And all God's people say, amen. Right, for those of you who are in the back, shall we give God praise offering? Right, I have a word, you know, and I think that the word might even be applicable to someone at the front. So for those of you who are in the back and you feel that this is for someone at the front who's praying or being prayed for and they can't hear me, right, you pass on the message to them. You know, and Pastor Cynthia was saying that she belonged to Citibank and that God said that she will leave in victory. How many of you remember when she said that? Right? I want to say something to all of those who are in the marketplace. How many of you are working already as a young adult or as parents? Right? Or even as an intern, okay, somewhere. Yeah, just raise your hands. Yeah, all across. Yeah. You know, I want to tell you something. That we at Coos Youth, we support your work, right? That when you go out, you're going to go in victory. Amen? Shall we all say amen on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are working, okay? You guys will go out in victory. Amen?
Amen.
Right. The other thing, right? It's a lot of ministry at the front, okay? But just try and hear my voice. this year, God is calling us. And when He calls us, He doesn't just call us to Him for no reason, right? He calls us to Him first for intimacy. Right? Everyone say intimacy. Everyone say intimacy. But second, He calls us to a life of mission. Everyone say mission. Right? And that mission field is in your schools, is in your marketplace, it is in your army camps. Right? So even right now, I just want all of us to raise our hands, because I want to just release and want to pray for each and every one of you, even as you go into your schools, your army camps, and your marketplace, that God will be with you in front and behind you. Lord, we want to pray for every person whose hands are raised. God, we want to pray a prayer of blessing, Lord, that You call them to a mission field. Lord, that wherever they go, Lord, the harvest is plentiful. Lord, Father, they, as the laborers, raise their hands saying, pick me. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God, I pray that they will listen to You even as they break forth into their schools. Lord, Father, that when they go into their schools, they will hear Your voice. They will hear and obey You like how Joshua did in his time. They will hear and obey You just like how Moses did in his time. They will hear and obey You like how David did in his time. Lord, Father, like the 12 disciples, the power of the Holy Spirit fall, Lord, Father, to every single member, Lord, whose hands are raised. Lord, Father, that they will hear Your voice. They will go forth as a generation banging on the gates of hell, bringing the people that need You to the gates of heaven. Lord, Father, that they will be missional, Lord, Father, in their hearts. They'll be strategic, Lord, Father, in their planning. Lord, Father, they will be strong in spirit. They'll be sacrificial in lifestyle. Lord, Father, we pray that every single one of them will be a blessing wherever they go. Lord, tonight we exalt You and we say there is no voice we'd rather hear than Your voice. May Your voice be so much louder, so much more clearer, Lord, that everything that You have to say, Lord, will we capture it, Lord, in our hearts? Will we be captivated by Your calling? Lord, I pray that for everyone in this room, Lord, Father, that we will be touched by Your voice, sensing, Lord, Father, hearing, seeing. Lord, Father, and like what it says in James, Lord, Father, that we will not just hear, but we will do. Lord, Father, because faith without works is dead. But God, we are alive in You. Lord, Father, and there is faith, there is works, and there is power. Lord, Father, so God, I just want to release, Lord, every single person in this auditorium, Lord. May the Lord shine His face upon you. Lord, will Your countenance be with them through the week, wherever they go, whatever school they enter or write down in their sheet of paper, or wherever, whatever campus they walk into, or army camp or office, Lord, You are with them. And surely You'll be with us until the end of the age. And all God's people say, amen. All right, next week, it's the 26th of January, right? It's where the JPI people are going for camp. Yeah. Can we just give a cheer to the JPI people? Right? But you know what? We need your prayer, right? Because we want to encounter God. We want to be there. So pray for us. And next week is also the Sec Force. Where all the Sec Force, raise your hands. Right? They will be transiting into the JPI segment, right? So come ready, right, for that service. It's going to be really special. See you next week, okay? Good night, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.